Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Happy Festivus, everyone. On today's show, we'll be airing Yankees grievances, discussing Yankees feats of strength, and revealing Yankees Festivus miracles. It's basically kind of, sort of, a 2021 recap while celebrating Frank Costanza's favorite holiday. The only thing missing is the Festivus pole. I don't have one.
You didn't go in the crawl space to grab the pole?
I do not climb ladders. We'll talk about that in a bit. Next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Festivus, everyone. I'm Stacey Gotsoulias, joined by Abby Mastracco. Abby made it to California.
I did. Oh, and my baggage was lost, too. It was so great. Newark Airport, there's a new expedited bag lane, and it was real quick. The only problem is you don't tag your bag yourself at that new one. They do it for you, and they forgot to tag my bag. So then it was just lost in Newark Airport for a few days.
Oh, no.
and then all that. So I'm dealing with this with United, and I've got they're like, well, I'm sorry, we can't track your bag. We can't locate it. Do you have photos of it? I'm like, I don't have photos of my suitcase. Is there any identifying features? It's a black suitcase like everybody else's suitcase. So put something on there that's like identifying in case your suitcase ever ends up in one of these massive shipping containers like mine did. Oh. And then it just like 10 minutes after I talked to United for like the 10th time, they're like, we can't find it. We're going to have to reimburse you. We'll give you some money now and then you have to file a claim and we'll give you some money later. We can't find it. Then all of a sudden it gets delivered to my parents' house this morning, like out of nowhere. And I'm still getting text alerts saying, we cannot locate your bag. I'm like, well, I located it now.
That's amazing.
So, and this was after, you know, escaping the Omicron apartment. So I hope all of you Yankee fans, wherever you are staying healthy. Healthy and staying sane. It's the holidays, you know, it drives all of us a little crazy, including our boy, Frank Costanza.
Yeah. This is our Festivus episode. And before we get into that, let me remind you all where you can find us. Apple Podcasts, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch us on YouTube if you're looking at us right now. Hello. And if you have a smart device, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Yankees. You'll say podcast Locked On Yankees and it should work. So it's Festivus. And in case people don't know, I mean, I don't know how anyone doesn't know. And I think people who don't even really watch Seinfeld know what Festivus is because it's actually become a thing in the past 25 years. It's kind of crazy.
At CVS, when I lived in LA once, I saw them selling Festivus poles.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, is Larry David around here somewhere? This has got to be some sort of like curb prank. I don't know, but they were selling Festivus poles at the CVS in Santa Monica a few years ago.
That's amazing. Now, in case you don't know what Festivus is, it's a secular holiday celebrated on December 23rd. That's what today is, as an alternative to the pressures and commercialism of the Christmas season. It's a non-commercial holiday, as depicted on Seinfeld, and it includes a Festivus dinner, an unadorned aluminum Festivus pole, which is what Abby alluded to in the open. I do not have a Festivus pole. And then you have practices such as the airing of grievances, feats of strength, and then there are Festivus miracles. And we're going to go through airing Yankee grievances, feats of strength that may have happened in the 2021 season, and then Festivus miracles. Now, it's kind of funny. Two of my strengths and miracles are the same. We've talked about it a lot, but we'll get into that in a bit.
I mean, Stacey's got a lot of problems with you people, and she's going to tell you about it. A lot of problems with the Yankees 2021 season, or 2021. I forgot what year it was for a minute. You know, these last 2 years have really aged me.
I think they've aged everyone, and it's, you know, it's really strange because we're coming up on 2022. How the hell did that happen? It feels like 2018 was only 3 days ago, and it's just like 2022. Like, that feels really far in the future, and it's not.
No.
You know? I'm supposed to renew my, I have a state ID. I don't drive. I'm a true New Yorker. Thank you. And it says that by May of 2023, you have to have the, what the hell is it called? The ID, the not enriched. Enriched? No, it's whatever it is where you have
the
to
real, the real DMV ID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It yes. almost replaces a passport, but not quite. Like, yeah. it's one of those things that I could use it. It. What's funny is I was looking this up because I want to go to Toronto in 2022 if, you know, COVID could stop coming up with all these new variants. I might be able to go. I could go to Canada with the ID, but I couldn't come back into the States without a passport. So I have to get a passport, which I don't have because I've never really gone anywhere that needed one. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Anyway, let's get into the airing of grievances. Okay. 2021 was disappointing if you're a Yankee fan because we went into it with people saying, oh, the Yankees are going to do this, they're going to do that. But it wasn't only that. We were coming out of 2020. You know, we were coming out of a 60-game season. We were finally going to have a real season. We were going to finally have a season where we were eventually going to be able to games and not watch games with paper cutouts of people in the stands, and it was going to be more normal, and that part of it was good. But the season overall obviously was disappointing, especially the way the it ended, but the whole season itself, just the roller coaster of the season was just it was too much. No. And most
remember
Yankee fans
the,
would agree
the start of the season when the Yankees couldn't hit water from a boat.
Mm-hmm. And how it kind of continued for a lot of those guys. Yeah, yeah. Like DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres and Gary Sanchez. And yeah, disappointing. Although, I've said this on other shows. DJ LeMahieu was DJ LeMahieu of before he became a Yankee.
Yeah.
Before he became that insane player that...
batting,
you know,
title.
Yeah.
He was pre-batting title DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, which is a fine player, but compared to batting title DJ LeMahieu, it's not the same.
You know, he had the hernia that he got fixed at the end of the year, so I don't know how much that, when that developed and how much that affected him, but and it's, I've been told that those are not fun to play through. It's if you can play through them, they are not, you know, super life-threatening.
Right.
It's not structural. It's not a soft tissue injury. But I'm told that they're not fun to play through. A few years ago, a hockey player that I worked with in Anaheim, Ryan Getzlaff, he had a hernia at the end of, I think it was the 2015 season. And they played all the way up until they were a game away from making the Stanley Cup final. They played to game 7 of the Western Conference final, and then he had a hernia. And I asked him about it later on, and he was like, it affects my skating. It does. It affects anything that I do with my core. And he's like, but I've played through worse. So for somebody who's hitting a baseball, that's a lot of core involved.
Mm-hmm.
You start to kind of try and I don't know, not cheat, that's not the right word, but you kind of brace yourself for anything that's going to engage your core when you have an injury like that.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that maybe towards the end of the season, I don't know when that developed, that hernia, but when I would imagine that probably affected him in some way.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And then obviously Gerrit Cole's hamstring affected the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just disappointing. Just the way it ended. You know, the wild card game was just such a microcosm.
It was very
of the
anticlimactic
season? Yeah, it really was. I would have preferred the not the last weekend of the season, but the previous weekend, the penultimate weekend of the season, when, you know, Stanton went ham in Fenway Park. That would have been my preferred performance in the wild card game, but what can you do?
You know, that was they were just such an interesting case study this summer because you didn't know which team you were going to get. And I think they peaked too early.
Mm-hmm.
I was out in Anaheim working on a Shohei Ohtani story when they came through Anaheim. And we talked about that last week because Jameson Taillon, he just did not have it in that game at all. And he was still throwing some really good pitches, but he had told Lindsay Adler in that article, he didn't have it in that game at all. And I remember talking to some fans who came to see the Yankees, and the Angels were actually playing really well. And they were like, They looked really good last week. Why do they not look like a playoff team this week?
Right.
And then and then in August they or in September they looked nearly unbeatable until that last series of the season when they just really had to scrape and claw to get to a playoff spot. And it was like it's just some dramatic highs and lows. If you're not watching this on YouTube, I'm making like a roller coaster motion with my hand because that was what the season was last year. They couldn't capitalize on the good things all at once. So the Yankees had like, the fifth best bullpen. I was looking at it earlier. Yes, the fifth best bullpen in baseball, which was then taxed. So there were a few weeks because the bullpen couldn't do anything because they were pretty taxed from having to make up for the starters. And then they could out hit some of their mistakes in some games. And then in some games they couldn't hit at all. And it was like, they never had everything going at once. They never had the starting pitching, the bullpen and the lineup all clicking at once. And they never really had any good defense to save them any runs. So it was like, they couldn't afford to make any mistakes. And that just doesn't like make for a team that can have much consistency.
Right, right. And it was similar in 2020 too, because it was the same, or 2020 also, because they were so inconsistent and they finished the 60-game season 33-27. I mean, they were close to 500. And it was the same sort of thing this year. Not that they were close to 500, but the inconsistency and the 13-game winning streak was the one time during the year where you thought, oh, this is how they're supposed to be playing. Like, everything seems to be clicking. Guys are coming up who shouldn't even be playing. They're playing hero. You know, they're coming up and doing what they're supposed to do. You know, you're getting better pitching performances. They're playing more not going for the home run and actually trying to manufacture runs, and things were happening. And then, I don't know. But, yeah, it was extremely inconsistent. And, I mean, what are you going to do? It's frustrating, but, I mean, it could have been worse.
It just felt like every time there was some sort of like poor pitching performance, it was on the lineup to out hit every mistake. And that's not, they had a lineup that's able to out hit mistakes on most nights, but when the onus is on them to out hit every mistake every night, that's a lot of pressure on your starters to not make a mistake. That's a lot of pressure on the lineup to manufacture runs. And at that point, you stop even trying to manufacture runs. You just go for the big hit because that's what you got to do. And I mean, look, that's also sort of baseball in the nutshell in 2021. You know, there isn't a lot of putting the ball in play and trying to push runs over the plate. It's a lot of putting the ball in the air to play the launch angle and get it over the fence. It's just not an effective way to play over the span of 163 games. It's just, you're not going to be able to out-hit every mistake every time.
Right. Now next, after I stop complaining about the Yankees, we'll be talking about feats of strength. And I guess this is a good segue because, you know, how are you going to be strong if you don't eat protein bars? Right?
You can't be built if you don't eat Built Bars.
Exactly. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. It is filled with holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and it's high in protein. You get the best of both worlds because Built Bar is delicious and healthy, and there's so many flavors you'll have a hard time choosing. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need in case, you know, it's the 23rd, guys. If you haven't gotten a present yet, you're not going to have a lot of time to do it, and you might actually need a Built Bar to help you through if you need to do it tomorrow. People are passionate about their favorite Built Bar flavors. I say it all the time, mint brownie, but I also like coconut. And there's a flavor that they sometimes have every once in a while. It's not a main flavor, but it's a special flavor. And if you order from Built Bar, you get emails about them. Coconut brownie chunk. It's amazing. So if you go to Built Bar and you use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. And when you put your email in and you give them all your info, they will let you know when all the new flavors come out and or special flavors. You know, they have holiday flavors and then they have flavors that they just come up with and say, hey, we have a new flavor out. How about you try it? So again, go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. So let's get into it. Feats of strength.
Feats of strength.
I would say,
have you stretched for this? You're not going to pull anything, right?
No, I shouldn't. I did some bar earlier, and I'm okay. And I stretched my lower half, so I should be okay for this. Okay. Now let's talk about other people's feats of strength, because they're much more impressive than...
Is this when we talk about Giancarlo Stanton flipping the tire?
Yeah.
That's an impressive feat of strength.
My goodness, yeah. In case you don't follow Giancarlo Stanton on Instagram, he would put up videos of himself training for the season. And yeah, there was a tire that was like the size of my house that he flipped over one time. And it was amazing. And, you know, we've talked about it many times, how both him and Judge made it most of the season without getting hurt. And if it weren't for those two, where the hell would the Yankees have been? They wouldn't have been in the playoffs if it weren't for those two.
They would not have been. And the fact that the two of them were both able to stay healthy was what made the lineup able to out-hit some of those mistakes on some nights. You know, not every night, but the fact that Judge and Stanton were both able, this was the lineup that we had sort of always envisioned when Giancarlo Stanton came to New York. And it's not the lineup that we always... It's not the lineup that the Yankees were always able to roll out there, but this was sort of that murderer's row again was what everyone thought when that transaction happened at the end of 2017 and all the excitement. And we finally got to see what they can do when they're both healthy. And it turns out they can do some pretty strong things.
Oh yeah.
Great. Costanza would be impressed.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier with that weekend in Fenway that Stanton had. But my God, I mean, there were just – he hits the ball so hard. But it doesn't – like, it's not like a Gary Sheffield swing. Like, Sheffield looked like he was trying to kill the ball when he'd swing the ball. Stanton just – my God. Sometimes I watch him swing and it's like, I need a cigarette afterwards. Because it's just like, wow, that's just amazing. Especially that weekend at Fenway. I mean, it sounded like the announcers needed cigarettes after some of those home runs, too, because of the way they were reacting to it was pretty funny.
He creates a lot of runs. And, you know, he smokes a lot of baseballs. But what he meant went to the lineup, I feel like he played a much more integral role than he had in past seasons when – you know, they did also have, they had DJ LeMahieu winning batting titles. And this year it was, the spotlight maybe was not quite on him as much as it has been in the past. You know, I remember there's a phrase that's often used in the tabloids in New York. He hadn't, a few years ago, they were still waiting for him to have his Yankee moment. When's Giancarlo Stanton going to have his Yankee moment? And it's a little bit overblown because it's New York and we overblow everything. But I feel like this year was when he finally had his like Yankee moment. And maybe it's because the spotlight wasn't really on him. He was needed. They needed that production, but the attention wasn't on him the way that it has been in the past.
Right.
And maybe when it's not, maybe when he's not the focal point, he's able to produce like the focal point. But I don't think that they need the spotlight on him, because really the spotlight this year was on so many other things with the Yankees, as we just aired in the previous airing of the grievances segment.
But yeah, he's, you know, when they got him at the end of 2017, my first thought was, oh my God, like what they said, I feel sorry for the baseballs.
Yeah.
Because I mean, my God, it's just amazing. And then even Judge, you know, how many times he just flicks the ball and it goes out. I mean, I know a lot of people complain about Yankee Stadium home runs, but hey, you have a guy batting from the right side and he just flicks the ball and it goes 330 feet. It's the best of both worlds. And then he can still crush it, you know, nearly 500 feet if he wants to. But I just like our big boy outfield. And that includes Joey Gallo. I like when the three of them are playing. You have Stanton out there, you have Gallo out there, you have Judge out there, because it's something you haven't seen before, because guys were not this big years ago. And it's just so much fun to see. You know, even Joey Gallo said, he's like, you know, I come to this team. He's like, usually I'm one of the bigger guys on the team. And then you got Stanton and Judge, and I feel small next to them because he's 6'5".
There were some fans who were not a fan of Joey Gallo. They feel like he did not live up to his, you know, his all-star self pre-trade. Joey Gallo is he's the definition of a three true outcomes player, but he saved them some runs.
Yes.
He saved them some runs. That was crucial down the stretch. I was at a couple games where had they lost control of a few fly balls in the sun, they would have been done in and they squeaked by.
Right.
He had a couple of nice putouts. He's a really good defensive outfielder. And yeah, he really struggled at the plate and he knew it too. I was talking to Susan Waldman, I think he'd maybe played two games at Yankee Stadium at that point. And Susan said, boy, you just feel for the kid because he's really squeezing the bat tight right now. He wants to perform for this crowd and he just hasn't been able to since the trade yet. And he really did care. I mean, you could see in the batting cage, he was like talking to himself or in taking BP. I mean, because we're not allowed in the locker rooms right now. So I don't know who's doing what in the cages anymore. But like during BP, he was like talking to himself and he really was pressing to try and get out of that offensive slump. And there were a lot of people who said he just can't perform in New York. That's it. He just can't perform. But I beg to differ because defensively, he was really solid for the Yankees and they needed that. They really needed that in the outfield. Outfield defense is such an underrated part of the game, but it can really cost you if you don't have good outfield defense. I mean, look at the Mets. Like, a few years ago, I felt like in 2017 when I covered the Mets, all I was writing about was like, yeah, Michael Conforto is finally coming around defensively at the plate, but the other outfield was just sort of like held together by bubblegum and duct tape. And I do feel like maybe – I don't know whether it was the pressure or when Joey Gallo came over from the trade, he just wasn't necessarily himself at the plate, but there were a few games that he did play really well at the plate, but he had some really good defense, some really good defensive plays. Cause when you're going on one side of the ball, it's likely to affect you on the other. So I think maybe Yankees fans are probably going to get mad at me for saying this, but you guys were a little hard on our Italian boy.
I think so. No, I agree. And you know, you'd mentioned the problems when you're not playing both sides, you know, like Gleyber Torres, and then things started correcting for him later in the season.
Yeah.
I feel like Joey Gallo will be better in 2022. I feel bad that he felt pressure because, you know, the Yankees lineup, it's not like they need him to be the star.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's not like he's on Texas anymore where he is the main guy in that lineup.
Good point. But you know? I think the difference is, though, is that it's New York and not Texas.
Right.
And he had been on a rebuilding team where there was very little pressure to, you know, he didn't have to do anything if he played in Texas. He did. He was an all-star this year. But when you go to New York in the middle of a playoff chase, it is a different experience.
Sure.
And it's difficult to not feel that spotlight on you. It's difficult to it's not an easy transition for everybody. And I think maybe we did not see the true Joey Gallo at the plate. But you got to remember, he's a three true outcome hitter. So it's,
right. You're going to get a lot of strikeouts from
him. You're going to get a lot of strikeouts from him, regardless.
Which you're also going to get, he's also, I mean, he might strike out a lot, but he's actually good at a lot of other things too. So, but I mean, it's not like there are a lot of guys that strike out a lot. Strikeouts are kind of a thing. So I feel like he has that under his belt. I feel like I think the pressure will be off him in 2022.
Yeah.
I feel like he got that out of the way. He should be okay. I hope that my tweet didn't bother him. I'm still thinking about that. I'm still so upset because I feel bad.
What was that tweet? I don't know.
There was an article written where they were talking about clubhouse stuff. Who wrote it? Was it?
Oh, it was Bob Klapisch.
And I joked. I said, oh, great. Now I have something to rant about on my show because it was about Joey Gallo and how.
Yes.
Right. And then Joey Gallo quote tweeted me, which I didn't realize till about 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, no. Because I didn't tag him. Obviously, I would never do that. But someone must have showed him that. And then he quote tweeted me. And I just like almost died because I felt bad.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was some. So should we maybe bet on how Joey Gallo is going to do in 2022? Because
I would bet that with his full spring training with the Yankees and he gets to start with a, you know, cleaner slate than you ever do when you're coming over from a trade, I would bet we're going to see a better Joey Gallo at the plate this year for the Yankees. What are you betting on, Stacey?
Well, I'm not really going to bet on anything. I'm not a betting person, but if you are, BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season and the pro football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. Bet online, where the game starts. So now we're getting into
the Festivus miracles.
It's a miracle we made it through the season. How about that?
Did you make it with your sanity intact?
Barely. I was hanging on by a thread. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's funny. When I was younger, it would take me days to recover from a Yankees playoff loss. And now it's like 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Move on to the next season. Like, who cares? After 2004, I can handle anything. So it doesn't, you know, it was fine. Was I disappointed in the wild card game? Of course I was. Was I disappointed that, you know, they had to play it in Fenway Park because they couldn't get their act together? Yes, I was. You know, would they have won at Yankee Stadium? Who the hell knows? Because, you know, Cole's hamstring could have been bothering him at Yankee Stadium too. I don't like the idea that people at Fenway think that they got to Gerrit Cole when he was warming up in the bullpen. It's like, you didn't. It was his hamstring. Stop. I mean, it really was like a roller coaster, but just like we were saying in earlier segments, every time you thought they'd get their S together, because I can't say the word, they just didn't. Just didn't happen. But like I said,
because as we said, the lineup construction or the roster construction overall, the whole roster construction did not lend itself to any sort of consistency.
Right, right. Although I feel like even just seeing Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo in the lineup, just seeing the L next to their names, because I mean, they were so right hand dominant for most of the season.
I don't know how you do that in that ballpark.
I ranted about this on a show during the summer because I couldn't believe that the Yankees thought that they could go through a whole season with a lineup like that. It's like, what are you in that stadium? What are you doing? Like I mentioned, you know, Aaron Judge likes to pull the ball. Sometimes he'll flick his wrist and it goes out to right field. But
he's okay, pull hitter.
Yeah, but it's like, what are you doing? And it used to be the opposite, where they had so many left-handed batters. You know, you had Giambi, you had Matsui, you had, like, all those guys in the lineup. You had the switch hitters, Posada, you had Teixeira, who could bat from both sides of the plate. And obviously you had the righties with A-Rod and Jeter and guys like that. But you had Cano from the left side, and it was just so much more balanced. And it was just so odd to me that Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner thought that was okay. Like, what are you doing? But I thought that bringing those two guys over helped a bit.
Yeah.
You know, there were some games where it really helped a lot, you know, Rizzo hitting home runs and stuff. But, you know, as Rizzo said, there were some days where the ball felt different and wasn't going anywhere. Even when he felt like he was hitting the ball and connecting well, the ball would just die and he couldn't understand why. So it's kind of, I think about that now since that report came out, and I think about certain games and certain hits where you think balls are going out and then they just died and you're wondering, like how many teams did, the dual ball effect, you know? And that's just a
bummer. Probably all of them at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just a bummer to think about, you know, that baseball.
Well, that's not a Festivus miracle.
No, it's not a miracle. It's a miracle that I didn't curse while I was talking about that. No, the miracle is, again, the health of Stanton and Judge, because I joked the beginning of the season we had to do bold predictions. My bold prediction was that they were going to play in 40 games combined. I was like, they're going to play in at least 40 games together. And it was well over 100. So you're welcome, Yankee fans. you know, it was a miracle that I made it through with my sanity intact. Like I said, it was hanging on by a thread just because that season was so weird. But 2020 kind of prepared us for it because it was the same kind of season. But over the course of 162 games, it was a little rougher than over the course of 60. You know, the up and down stuff during the 60, you're kind of like, all right, well, you know, COVID's going on and things are happening and it's just a weird season. And then you're thinking once you come back for 2021, it'll be okay. And then it just wasn't. So
no. It's still not okay in 2022. Now we're locked out.
Yeah, we got the lockout. We have Omicron. It's a fun time.
So there's our Festivus miracle. If the owners and or if the league and the Players Association can get this CBA negotiated here and we can, the owners can unlock the doors.
Yeah, that would be great. Although, as you joked about last week, that's the reason why no one's getting sick, at least from baseball, because no one can go anywhere. They're all work. They're all working out in their houses and stuff, which is great because, you know, they're not going to get sick.
Wonderful. Miracles all around.
Miracles.
It's a miracle that they made it to the All-Star game and that Stacy didn't, you know, injure herself in the process of that streaky team.
I mean, and I've injured myself at games. I nearly broke my ankle one time going from one row to the other because I stepped on the seat and then it folded as I was. Yeah. And it was during a really bad Phil Hughes start where he gave up like 5 home runs and I was already in a really bad mood. And then I had to limp home from Yankee Stadium because I nearly broke my ankle. And it wasn't the ankle I broke in college, which was good. But I was also thinking to myself, did I break another one? Did I break my other ankle? Are you kidding me? But I didn't. It was just a bad strain. But before we go, I have to tell you this story because you mentioned it when we first got on. In 1988, we were going to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, which I wasn't happy about because I wanted to go to Disney. And my dad wanted to go to St. Thomas to play golf. We get to the airport. Pan Am tells us that they overbooked our flight by 93 people. And my dad's like,
what?
What? We were going to go from, where were we flying out of? Newark to Miami to St. Thomas. So then the lady at the counter is like, well, we have a direct flight to St. Thomas. And my dad's like, fine, put us on that. My dad's golf clubs, our video camera, my dad's luggage, mom's luggage, brother's luggage, all shows up. Whose luggage does not show up? Me.
Stacy's luggage.
Of course.
Didn't show up.
So my dad meets this rich dude from Canada who like owned a airplane company or something. Roy. Can't remember his last name. And he's telling him the saga of Stacy's luggage. And he goes, all right, go get your daughter. I'm going to go buy her clothes. And my dad's like, what? He's like, yeah, I'll take her to the hotel boutique. And my dad's like, well, I can do that. He's like, no, I insist. I feel bad that this happened to her. Let's just do that. So this was a couple of years before Pretty Woman, but it was basically like Pretty Woman. I went into the boutique, bought a few outfits. Roy paid for them. My mom's like, are you sure? She's like, he's like, yes, Roy. Yes, I insist. I feel bad.
You even remember the guy, Roy. Just Roy. Roy, who paid for my clothes in St. Thomas.
He was from Toronto. He was great. I wish I remembered his last name. Roy, if you're still alive, because, I mean, he was not old, but, you know, it was 1988, so you never know. And then he gets me all these outfits, and then, of course, my luggage shows up the next day. But I did wear one of the outfits out to a fancy steak dinner one of the nights we were there. And it was really cool. And of course, it was 1988. So it was, you know, definitely an 80s outfit. But yeah, I know all about the lost luggage stuff. It's not fun. But yet 93 people. Can you imagine? Like my dad really, you know, Gus was not happy because he said to the lady, 93. How do you overbook a flight by 93 people? That's almost a whole other flight of people. What are you doing?
That's insane.
Yeah, I think it was like a computer glitch or so. Something happened. And yeah, so that was my lost luggage saga. But that's it for our Festivus episode. Yeah, just like I said, maybe next year I'll get a pole for Festivus.
You got to get an aluminum pole.
Yeah.
Frank Costanza keeps his in the crawl space.
Yeah, like I said, can't go in the crawl space. A couple of things I inherited from my father. My height, my greasy hair and skin, and my fear of heights, which includes climbing ladders. So I don't go into crawl spaces.
Well, happy Festivus to the rest of us.
Yes, happy Festivus to the rest of us. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch us and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Now make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Festivus, and we will talk to you tomorrow.